Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Pregnant by the Playboy by Jackie Lau, narrated by David Lee Huynh and Vivian Moon Kells. Chapter 1. Vince. I'm in love. Her name is Evie, short for Evelyn. She's 4.5 months old, and she gives me a gummy smile and laughs whenever I press her nose and say, beep. Last week, she wasn't amused by this, but today, it's provided endless giggles. She also enjoys it when I sing, but that's a secret between me and her. Normally, I have no qualms about embarrassing myself, as many people will attest to, but I don't want anyone to know that I sing to my niece. I visit Evie and Courtney, my sister-in-law, every Friday afternoon. And don't tell anyone this either, but Friday is now my favorite day of the week. And it has nothing to do with any parties or clubs I might go to late in the evening. While Courtney has a shower and does laundry, I entertain my niece, and then the three of us hang out together, and Evie naps a bit. I don't know much about babies, but I'm told Evie is a rather easygoing and chill baby. Surprising that my brother Julian produced such a child. I carry Evie over to the mat in the playroom and sit cross-legged with her in my lap. There's a mirror in front of us. But I doubt she understands that it's her in the mirror. Say hello to the baby. I hold up her little hand and wave. Then I press her nose again. Beep, beep, beep. She giggles. She's so easily amused. She's wearing a yellow ducky onesie today. Her hair is black and fine, and her eyes are dark. Her ears stick out just a bit. When Julian first put Evie in my arms, the day after she was born, I wasn't sure what to do. I'd never held a baby before, and she was so tiny and rather strange-looking, wearing an enormous white knit hat with a bow, her face scrunched up. Julian took 2 weeks off work. He's the CEO of Fong Investments, and after he went back to work, he made me promise to visit every week and make sure Courtney and Evie were getting along okay. He was probably also trying to save me from my unfulfilling life of leisure by giving me something productive to do. I haven't worked in almost 3.5 years, though I never need to work again. I have more than enough money after selling my startup. My family doesn't realize it, because I was in Silicon Valley for most of that time, but I burnt out bad. They think of me as the wild troublemaker, but I did basically nothing but work for 5 years. Responsible, serious Julian can handle that kind of lifestyle, though even he realized that he had to stop pushing himself quite so hard, but I can't. I press on Evie's forehead. Beep. She frowns at the mirror.
Silly Uncle Vince, don't you know my nose makes noises, not my forehead?
Perhaps it's time for a song. I start singing her favorite. There was an old woman who swallowed a fly. I'm on the verse about the goat when I hear a noise behind me, and I freeze. Courtney picks up Evie.
Uncle Vince was singing to you, wasn't he?
Evie nods. The traitor. Evie, I say sternly, that was a secret. I have a reputation to uphold, and singing to babies doesn't fit it. Though Courtney knows me pretty well. We've always gotten along, and she's helped me with some things that most people don't know about.
You want to stay for dinner? She asks.
Nah, sorry. I've got plans, but I'll stay until Julian gets back. I lean forward and touch Evie's nose again. Beep. I got you a present, I say to Julian as soon as he walks in the door and sets down his briefcase. You'll love it. Dear God, he mutters. To what do I owe this pleasure? Just saw something at the store and figured you'd like it, I say cheerfully. Annoying my older brother is one of life's greatest pleasures. Courtney comes over with Evie, and Julian gives them both a kiss. Once upon a time, I wouldn't have figured Julian would be a family man, but it seems to suit him. There is an odd feeling in my chest as I look at the three of them together. Then I say, "Come on, it's in the living room." Julian walks over to his favorite chair and looks at his gift. It's a large plush animal, eating a bowl of noodles with chopsticks. And I've placed a bottle of Labatt 50 with a large red bow next to it, so it sort of looks like the animal is drinking the beer. I've also tied a red bow around the animal. Julian picks up the beer. You're never going to let me live this down, are you?
My brother is mainly a wine drinker, and he has sophisticated taste in wine. But when it comes to beer, he drinks old man beer, and I find it endlessly amusing. And this? He picks up the stuffed animal. What is it? I don't know, but it made me think of you. Why, may I ask, is that?
It's Pusheen, Courtney exclaims.
Pusheen? Julian says.
A cartoon cat. Isn't she sweet? I love Pusheen.
Julian smiles affectionately at his wife and daughter, then turns back to me. You're trying to buy presents for Evie again by pretending they're for me. I told you she doesn't need anything else. She has lots of toys. I shrug. Busted. The beer is for you, though. Thank you, he says sarcastically. I take this Pusheen creature from his hands and hold it up to Evie. What do you think? Do you need more toys? She gurgles and reaches out to touch the cat.
I'll take that as a yes, I say.
You need something to do in life other than spoil my daughter, Julian says.
Ah, that reminds me. I should head out. I have an orgy to attend.
Courtney makes a show of covering Evie's ears, then hands her over to her father. Julian grins as he bounces her up and down, and she slaps her slobbery hand across his face. I'm lying. There isn't an orgy tonight. Just a big, fancy party at Brian Poon's. There will likely be some sex, though. There usually is. And I've had a dry spell of, well, 6 weeks, which is rather long for me. I just like saying orgy to bug Julian. To be honest, I do tend to exaggerate my exploits a teeny tiny bit. Well, it's more than a teeny tiny bit lately. The first year or so after selling my company, my life truly was wild, a little too wild. After years of a ridiculous workload, I was suddenly free and very wealthy, so I was celebrating. But at the same time, I was trying to drown out my overwhelming feelings of misery and loneliness. It didn't quite work. In fact, it was the start of a depressive episode. But most people don't know about that. I'm simply Vince Fong, playboy extraordinaire. I can't lie. I enjoy people seeing me this way, and it isn't entirely an act. I like women and sex, good food and wine, traveling, partying. It's not an everyday occurrence anymore, but it's a good life. Yet, although I'm feeling better these days, there's still something missing.
Hello, says a voice from elsewhere in the house.
Oh, sorry, Courtney says to Julian. I forgot to tell you. Your parents and grandmother insisted on coming over for dinner today. They're bringing food, don't worry.
My brother frowns. I think he wanted a quiet night with his wife and daughter. I saunter to the front hall, Julian and Courtney behind me. Hey, Mom and Dad. Popo.
Vince.
Popo sits down on the bench to take off her shoes.
You are joining us for dinner?
Sorry, I've got plans. Might as well make my exit now. It's 6:30, and I plan to be at Brian's around 8. The party won't start until later, but I enjoy hanging out with Brian. It's Friday night, Julian says. Of course Vince has plans. Popo shakes her head and touches Evie's chin.
You be a good girl when you grow up, okay? Not at all like Uncle Vince.
I press my niece's nose.
Beep, beep, beep.
Why are you pretending my daughter is a truck backing up? Julian asks.
She likes it, I say.
Of course, this is the one time Evie doesn't giggle. I try again. She still doesn't giggle. I guess I'll have to find something new to entertain her next week. I regard myself in the mirror. I'm wearing a black suit and white shirt, collar open, no tie. My hair is a little long, in a way that I think really works for me. I smile and point my finger at the mirror. Yeah, I look the part. But what's the meaning of a life spent partying and playing video games and dining in style? Fuck it. I'm going to bury myself in a woman tonight and forget about everything. That's what I need.
Chapter 2. Marissa. My mouth falls open. Your friend lives here? I ask Carrie Lowe as our Uber heads through the wrought iron gates of a house on the bridal path. She shrugs. Yeah. What does Brian do? Nothing. What do you mean he does nothing? His family owns a big multinational company, Carrie says. I think he's involved, but not heavily. Right. This is so not my world. I've never been to a house on the bridal path before. And it's a freaking monster of a house, with a huge fountain out front. Not that there's any water in it since it's January. A light dusting of snow covers the ground. I grew up in a two-bedroom apartment in Scarborough. It was just me and my mother, who worked at a dry cleaner's. Whenever my mother brought a box of Peak Friands, that was what luxury meant to me. I wouldn't have even been able to conceive of something like this. A house in Toronto with an actual gate and semicircle driveway. But I'm 36 now, and I don't have to count my nickels to buy a box of cookies. I have a condo and a good job as an engineer. At the thought of my job, I remember all the shit I have to do on Monday morning. I push that aside. Tonight, I'm going to have fun. I deserve it. I've known most of my friends since high school or university, but I only met Carrie a few years ago. She's 4 years younger than me, and she's all about going out and having fun. Since many of my friends now have children and aren't usually available on Friday nights, it's good to have a friend like Carrie. She works in advertising, although she never seems to do much work, and she's always up to date on the hot new places to eat and drink. She's the youngest child in a wealthy family from Hong Kong, and she's always seemed worldlier than me. I step out of the car in my black boots and long black jacket, and Carrie and I proceed to the door. It's opened by a man who I think might be an honest-to-God butler. Yeah, this is so not my world. But I hand him my jacket and take off my boots and act like I belong. I can conquer this party like I've conquered everything else in life. I love your dress, Carrie says. Thanks. I don't tell her that I found it on a sale rack for $100. My outfit is probably worth a tiny fraction of hers. She's wearing a sexy white ruched dress and showy gold jewelry. I feel like her opposite, dressed in black with silver jewelry. Brian! She cries, throwing her arms around an East Asian man in a gray suit. This is my friend Marissa, the woman I told you about, remember?
Nice to meet you,
he says, shaking my hand. We follow him into a room with low lights and loud music. A few people are dancing. Brian gestures me toward the bar. It's not a help-yourself bar. No, it's staffed by two bartenders. Both Asian men with ponytails and silk jackets that somehow don't look ridiculous. I'll have a glass of white wine, I say. One of them nods, and I turn toward the room as I wait. Life has been stressful lately. I've been busy with a big project at work, and my mother had a health scare. We got the test results back a few days ago, and fortunately, the tumor is benign. Now, I finally feel like I can breathe again, and I'm determined to have a good time and maybe end my dry streak. Carrie assured me this would be a good place to get laid. I feel a touch out of place, but I know I look hot in this outfit, and the key is to be confident. I also feel a little old. I think most of these people are closer to 30. Once the bartender passes over my drink, Carrie grabs my hand and introduces me to a few men she knows. One of them looks at me appreciatively. You like him? Carrie whispers. I shake my head and grab a petite fou off the tray as a waiter passes by. Carrie knows almost everyone, and she walks me through the gorgeous house, introducing me to men and raising her eyebrows in question. She seems determined to make sure I have sex tonight, and I appreciate it. We pass a man and woman making out in the hall. The guy's got his tongue down the woman's throat and his hand under her dress. I watch as his hand slides higher. Many of the men are good-looking, but apparently I'm picky tonight, even if I'm just interested in going to bed, not a relationship. A relationship would be nice, too. I haven't had a boyfriend in 2 years, but that's not why you go to a party like this. It's important to do everything with a purpose. And for tonight, mine is simply have fun and get laid. And then I see him. It's like there's a neon arrow above him, pointing down. He's wearing a black suit and white shirt. He's East Asian, and he has black hair, A little too long to be strictly proper, I think. He's sitting on a leather couch next to a woman with red hair and a green dress. And, oh yeah, they're making out. Yes, the man I've set my sights on is currently making out with another woman. He's got one hand cupping her ass, the other cupping the back of her head, and there's just something about the way he's touching her, molding her body to his. I'm mesmerized. I want him to do that to me, right here, in front of everyone. My mouth is suddenly dry, and I take a sip of my wine. Who's that? I ask. Vince Fong, Carrie replies. Oh, I swallow. I know Vince by reputation only. He's the youngest son in the illustrious Fong family. His father started a successful investment company, which his oldest brother now runs. His other brother is a writer. And Vince? He sold his tech startup for a ton of money a while back. And ever since, he's been rolling in cash and living the high life. He's good friends with Brian, Carrie says. Ah, I can imagine that Brian with his gorgeous house and parties would have a friend like Vince Fong. As if feeling my gaze on him, Vince breaks the kiss and looks at me. My instinct is to look away, but no, I'm not going to. I continue to stare. He winks and shoots me a cocky smile that says he knows exactly what I want. That says he knows he's hot stuff. These sorts of men usually piss the shit out of me. But for some reason, that smile makes me even more attracted to Vince. Carrie smirks. You like him? Yeah, I admit. I bet he'd be up for a threesome. I jolt back. She laughs. I'm sure he's had quite a few of those over the years. But I want Vince all to myself. He's not the kind of guy I usually like, but I just want someone to show me a great night, and I bet he's more than capable of that. He presses the redhead against his groin, and I almost gasp, imagining it's me instead of her. She rocks her hips against him, and fuck, I can hear the growl in the back of his throat. Marissa Chan, Carrie murmurs. I've never seen you like this before. I haven't seen myself like this before either. All right, she says. Let's get you what you want.
Chapter 3. Vince. When Alexis goes to get another drink, the woman in the incredibly sexy black dress struts over to me, one hand on her hip, and it's clear she's a woman on a mission. I fucking love it. She's petite, maybe 5'2", and rather slight, but she has a huge presence. I've never seen her before, and I'm familiar with most of the people Brian invites to his parties. She grabs my lapels and tugs me up. Her raised eyebrows indicate a question, and I nod. She can do what she wants to me. She drags me into the corner, grabs my hand, and puts it on her ass. Oh, wow. And then she stands on her toes and kisses me. Who is this woman? I had my lips on another woman not a minute ago, but I'm not complaining. I live for shit like this. Her kiss is a scorcher, and I can't say I'm surprised. Her strokes are quick, then deep and long. She's mixing it up, keeping my head spinning. When I squeeze her ass and press her against my erection, she tears her lips from mine, breathing heavily. You want that, baby? I murmur. She nods. I still haven't heard her voice, but fuck, she feels good. I inch up the hem of her dress. Yeah? I say. She nods again. I slide my finger over her panties. They're soaked. I push them aside and shove a finger inside her. Yes. Wet and perfect. Vince, she gasps. Her voice is low and throaty and wonderful. You know my name, I smile. Yeah, I know who you are, Vince Fong. Well, that puts me at a disadvantage. I have no idea who you are, even though I have my finger in your pussy. Her pupils dilate. She loves this. I'm good at sex because I'm good at reading people. Also, I've had lots of practice. She starts grinding against my hand, but I don't move,
and she moans in frustration.
Tell me how to get you off, I whisper,
my mouth a hair's breadth from her ear.
You want to ride my hand? You want my mouth? What's it take?
Your mouth. I want you on your knees.
Oh, hell.
Tell me what your name is first, I say.
Marissa.
You make a habit of kissing men before telling them your name?
She shakes her head and bites her lip, just quickly, but it seems to be a nervous gesture.
I've never done this before.
My eyes widen. You sure acted like you'd done this before.
No, I just really want you.
Slowly, I slide my finger in and out of her, and she seems utterly entranced. Not gonna lie, it's damn good for my ego when a woman responds to every little touch and wants me so badly. That's why I'm a cocky bastard.
Vince,
she moans. I pretend to be a little blasé, not wanting her to know quite how much she affects me. I haven't felt like this in a while.
Tell me about yourself, I say. What do you do for a living?
I'm a mechanical engineer.
Yeah, this isn't the kind of person who usually shows up at Brian's parties.
What do you do in your free time? My finger is still inside her, moisture dripping down my hand.
Vince,
she growls.
It's pretty sexy.
Favorite movie? I inquire. Favorite color? Favorite song?
What was the last TV show you binged? She gives me a look that says she's totally unimpressed with me. I laugh.
Why does any of that matter?
She asks. I can't think straight enough to answer these goddamn questions when you're touching me. I just have a feeling you're one of those people who's really fun to annoy. Seems like I'm right. I kiss her before she can respond, and then I drop to my knees. Slowly, I slide her panties down her legs. They're red and lacy. I put them in my pocket. Then I lift up her skirt, baring her to me and the rest of the room. Her hair is dark and neatly trimmed. I slide my finger into her again and savor the sight. When I turn my gaze up to her face, she's looking at me with a glazed expression.
You good? I say quietly.
Yeah.
I glance behind me. Alexis has returned, and she's now kissing Carrie Lowe on the couch. Brian is standing at the doorway, staring at me and Marissa. He likes to watch, and he's watched me with many women before. But all I care about is making Marissa feel good and seeing where this will take us. I use my thumbs to spread her open and give her one long, leisurely lick. Sweet fuck. She tastes amazing. I swirl my tongue over her clit, and she gasps. When I look up, her eyes are shut and her head is tipped back, and I will do whatever it takes for her to continue making those noises. I lick all over her entrance, then slip my tongue inside her. I thrust my fingers in and out of her at a frantic pace, and her expression is almost one of pain. This is too much for her. She's not used to all this pleasure. But at the same time, she's holding my head against her crotch. Her body tenses as I continue to fuck her with my fingers, faster and faster. I can tell she's close, so close, and either she wants me so much that she doesn't care if other people can see, or that turns her on too. I glance up as her channel clenches around my fingers, and a look of pure ecstasy is written on her face. It makes me so hard as she cries out and trembles. I pull her down to the ground with me. She's gorgeously disheveled. And she's giggling.
I can't believe I did that.
You're not drunk, are you?
It didn't occur to me before, but now I'm a little worried. It's harder to tell with someone I don't know.
No, I've only had half a drink. I just feel really good right now, after that orgasm.
I drag her mouth to mine, needing to taste her. Maybe needing her to taste herself on my lips, too.
You want to fuck?
She swallows. We can go somewhere more private, I wink. I know this house well.
Actually?
Or we don't have to do anything else. It's cool. She strokes my dick through my pants.
Oh.
Let's leave, she says.
My place or yours? Or a hotel, if you prefer. She thinks this over as she straightens her dress.
Your place. We'll get an Uber?
Nah, I got a driver out there.
Of course you do, she murmurs. Can I have my underwear back?
I pat my pocket. Don't see why you'll need them tonight.
Good point. And by the way, Everclear's, I will buy you a new life and the Great British Bake Off.
She gets up. I stay on the floor for another moment, my head spinning.
Right. She just answered two of the inane questions I asked her.
I wasn't planning on leaving the party so early, but I think this is going to be a very, very good night.
Chapter 4. Marissa. We make out in the back seat of the car. We make out as we're waiting for the elevator. We make out in the elevator. Finally, we step into Vince's place on the top floor, and he immediately shoves me against the door, unzips the side of my dress, and fills his hands with my breasts. When he leans back, he graces me with a devilish smile. Damn, he's handsome. Danger! Screams my brain. I date safe guys, good guys, ones who treat me well. I've never broken up with a guy because he was a piece of shit. But I'm not dating Vince. I remind my overactive brain. And even if he's a playboy, he's been good to me. Checking that I was on board with what he was doing. Making sure I didn't have too much to drink. And he was willing to leave the party to somewhere I felt more comfortable. Yes, this is just what I need. He bends down to kiss me again. He's at least 6 inches taller than me, but I'm pretty short, so I'm sure he's no more than 5'10". Not so tall that he's impossible to kiss while standing up. Perfect. He dips his head farther and wraps his lips around one of my breasts, taking as much into his mouth as he can, swirling his tongue over my nipple. I arch against him, and then I untuck his shirt and slide my hands up his warm skin. Vince is lean. Not hugely muscled, but there are certainly some hard muscles going on here. I scrape my fingernails over him, and my nipple pops out of his mouth as he groans. The way he responds to me, it gives me such a high. I unbuckle his belt and slide my hand into his boxer briefs. His cock is hard and rigid. It makes my inner muscles clench, and I'm very aware that I'm not wearing panties. Marissa. I love that he's saying my name. I don't feel like I'm interchangeable with all the women who have come before me, and I know there have been an awful lot of women. But he makes me feel like I'm the only one who matters. Danger! Danger! No, I'll be fine. I know exactly what I'm getting myself into, and I know what this isn't. He pushes up my dress until it's a thick belt around my waist, and slides two fingers inside me. It's a damn good thing I'm against the door, because my knees feel weak. His lips curve in another of his devastating smiles, and then he's kissing me again as he finger fucks me and I jack him off. It's not enough. I want. I can't have everything I desire in life, but for tonight, I can take this. Please. I say desperately. He slides his hands under my ass and lifts me up. I'm so close to being impaled on his cock. Condom. Through the haze of lust, I still remember to use protection. I was just getting to that. He sets me down and pulls a condom out of his pocket. My red underwear falls out at the same time, but he leaves it on the floor. Once he's sheathed himself, he lifts me up again. I breathe shallowly. I want. He brings me down on his cock and I cry out as he fills me. He feels amazing. I wrap my legs around him and hold on tight. My bare back rubs against the door as he thrusts in and out. And it's not exactly comfortable, though somehow it heightens the pleasure. Oh, fuck. I murmur. He grins, but then he shoves deep inside me, and that grin is wiped away and he looks overcome. That was me. I did that to him. He kisses me as he shoves inside me over and over.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?